97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
All right, we've got Jim Carafano on the phone from the Heritage Foundation. And Jim, did I see you in the background of that workout competition the other day between Pete Hegseth and RFK Jr.? Wasn't that you doing push-ups?
You know the 50 pull-up thing?
Oh, yeah.
In 50 days, I could do a pull-up a day.
That was pretty funny to see those two out facing off over that. When's the last time we had a sec def who did PT with the troops?
So I got to tell you, so RFK actually works out in the same gym as I do.
Oh, nice.
And he is in the gym, and he's, you know, got his jeans and his work boots, and he's on the stair stepper and lifting weights and stuff. It's crazy to watch.
That guy is jacked, man. I can't believe it.
He is. Yeah.
He really is. Hey, I saw this headline this morning, but it's in the New York Post, so I needed to get your take on it. North Korea's top officers abruptly pulled out of Russia. What could this mean for the Ukraine peace talks? Is this significant?
I really don't know. I was talking about this. So we don't really know what Putin is really up to. Does he believe his generals that they could take this in 3 months and he's just playing rope-a-dope? Is he just trying to squeeze out the best deal that he can? Or is he actually kind of trapped and just trying to figure this? We don't know. And my advice always is, when you're fighting an enemy and you don't know what their intent is, in other words, what are they actually trying to accomplish, you have to plan your strategy that makes that decision irrelevant, right? So it's you know, in chess, you've always got to consider the enemy's next move.
Sure.
But in war, sometimes you don't know what the enemy's next move is going to be, and you're not going to, and you don't wait for it. So you have to do something that, regardless of what they do, your thing works. And I think that's where we are. And we can read all these little tea leaf things about Russia, you know, these guys leaving and whatever and everything else. But I don't know if it gives you that kind of clear indicator of exactly what's in the mind of Vladimir Putin and where he thinks this war is headed.
What does a land swap look like that would actually work in your mind? I mean, obviously, Russia's not giving back Crimea. So what would they swap?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, the answer is kind of simple, but kind of, they'll swap anything, any land that really doesn't matter. That's what they can swap, right? And you would say, well, what's the good of that? And the answer is, it's not. It's politics. But the things that are strategically relevant, like the Ukrainian strong points in the Donbass, Ukraine's not going to give that up. The Russians are not going to give up Crimea. I don't fixate about the Crimea much thing, because militarily and strategically, Crimea is useless for the Russians. I mean, everything there is in the range of the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians can mess with it whenever they want. So I don't think the land swap is the big deal. It's the deal that's the deal. If they do a land swap, it's really just political stuff. It's not really going to be strategically relevant.
Interesting. Jim Carafano, our guest.
Millie Mouse here.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to. I don't know what that looks like. So I figured you might have a better idea. You know, speaking of Europe, I was kind of thinking about the difference between that picture from Trump's first administration, where
right.
Angela Merkel is, you know, like pointing the finger at him, and they're like lecturing him and all this, compared to them all lined up like ducks in front of the Resolute desk last week when they all came here. What a world of difference! There's an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning entitled "How European Leaders Studied Trump and Learned to Speak His Language." And I'm like, how long did it take you to dream up that misleading headline? They're not speaking his language. He's schooling them.
Right. So, again, this is kind of like the stupidity of this. Is somehow if you just flatter Trump and whatever, you get what you want. It's not. Trump is, you have to put something on the table that is valuable to the U.S., and he understands that it also has to have some value for you. So what, and that's what European leaders have broken the code. So they figured out how to be not just respectful, but take Trump seriously and be constructive and be proactive. I was in Asia last week, and I was actually talking about this with people. Is Europeans get this. You know, leaders in Asia are kind of so clueless and they really don't know what to do. And I go, you should study the Europeans. The Europeans, they know how to do this and how to meet Trump on Trump's terms and get something that's good for them, but also kind of answers the mail for Trump. And that's all he really wants. So if you actually look, the only people in Europe, the only leaders who are completely isolated, out of touch, and having no impact are the true ideologues, like this Yahoo in Spain.
Yeah.
But everybody else is just pragmatic about their relationship with Trump. And then they come away saying, oh, this works. And so what you actually have is the European chattering class and these Yahoos who wrote this article, whatever, like, you know, still in the, oh, my God, Trump's going to destroy the world. And
yeah.
European leaders are going, you know what, this is working out fine. We kind of like this, actually.
As they should. I mean, I played the bite earlier from, I think it's the bite last week from when she was in town, Georgia Maloney, who's obviously right. pro-Trump. And she's like, you know, here, I got to give you credit because nothing happened for the last 3.5 years, right. but things are happening now because of you.
I believe that that's true. And Europeans are, is Trump going to leave NATO? Is Europe important? They're past all that.
Yeah.
They're into the business of how do we do things and get things done that makes the world better for our people. And I tell you, the other thing is not only have they understood that Trump's actually somebody they can work with, and they've learned that, but they are getting pressure from their own populations who look at the United States and say, hey, things are going well there. Their cities aren't burning to the ground. They aren't being overrun by illegal immigrants. Their economy's picking up. They're making money. They're proud to be Americans. Why can't we get some of that? What's wrong with you guys? When are you going to start delivering like Donald Trump? That's something you hear in Europe more and more every single day.
I read an article about that the other day, that they're, because of some of the riots and the no-go zones in some of these countries, that they're taking a hard look at those wide open border policies. And, you know, they weren't talking about that during the Biden administration.
I'll give you an example. Like Denmark is, you know, a small country where the liberal party that's running the country essentially just stole all these issues from the right. They just basically started putting Trumpian policies in place. Hmm. And because that's what the people want. And so this guy is, you know, the word transformative is just not going to become kind of a big enough word for what this guy is doing.
Yeah.
And the relationship with Europe, I think, is unbelievably stellar compared to what people thought it was going to be. And look at things like the Middle East, where we're totally crushing a lot of bad guys. We had Sepp Gorka, the head of the counterterrorism thing, here yesterday talking about just globally where we are in counterterrorism. And I was just remarking, it's like 6 months ago, this would have been aspirational. If you could have told me we'd met this much progress in 6 months in understanding and dealing with some of these threats, I would have looked at you and said, that's just, you know, that's just kind of wishful thinking.
Yeah,
but here we are.
Yeah. It's been an amazing 6 months. There's no doubt about that.
Could you play that song, In the Land of Wishful Thinking? Because
yeah,
that's where we are.
Exactly. It's a great point. Jim Carafano, always great having you on, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.